This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Accelerating your fandom, this is Flash TV Talk.
Welcome to Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I'm Bo.
And I'm Hot. I mean, Bell.
It is. Hello, Hot Bell.
It is very hot.
Sweltering, as they say, out here in Texas. Bell, have you heard the expression, a speedster is never late? Speedsters are never late. They arrive exactly when they mean to.
Yes. They're never early either.
Right. Oh, they're definitely never early. Point is... The same is true of Flash podcasters, because this episode is late.
That is very true. That's partially my fault. I was on vacation last week, and we just couldn't make a time work to get it recorded. But you know what? I'm relaxed and rested and ready to knock this one out of the park.
Yeah, so it's going to be a little bit different. And I mean, like, to be fair, it's also going to be weird this week because I also am about to be out of town. And so this schedule is crazy. And the funny thing is, this was going to originally be a two-part, or not really a two-part, but we were going to do kind of a two-in-one episode as we've had to do in the past. But then after watching the episode we're about to talk about, I was like, no. We are not going to cram this one into like another episode. Like, this one deserves its own. You know,
we're not going to treat this episode like Barry and Caitlin did Cisco at the beginning of this episode.
That's right. That's right. We are going to show proper respect, appreciation, and get high on LSD. Nope. Hang on. Sorry. I think
you mean MDMA. That was clearly.
you have clearly a much deeper appreciation and knowledge of recreational drug use than I do. But point is, kids don't do drugs. But
drugs are bad unless they're good.
Oh, man, I cannot wait to get into this episode with you. All right. So before we do it, though, we want to let you know, of course, this is Flash TV Talk, the fan podcast dedicated to news, reviews, and more for the hit CW show, The Flash. I already said that already, I think, because I said I'm Bo and you said you're Bell. And now, see, this is what happens when we're playing catch up. But this show would not be possible without our amazing patrons at patreon.com/TV Talk. Learn more how you can support the show there. Also, I want to make mention that while this show has been late, the Flashcraft server has still been bumping and jumping. And we are officially breaking ground on that new Star Labs build. So you ever want to see Star Labs in Minecraft? We did that in season one, but we're doing it here at the end of season two. So if that's something that you're interested in, head over to the Flash TV Talk YouTube channel to find all that great content there. All right. I think that's it. You ready to do it?
Let's do this.
All right, man. Let's jump into the rundown. Episode 12 of season 7, Goodbye Vibrations, directed by Philip Chapera, and story by
Kelly Wheeler and Jeff Hirsch.
Bell, what happened this episode?
Ooh, this is a long one. Buckle up, kids. Cisco and Camilla tell the team they're leaving Central City. A new version of Rainbow Raider strikes, and the team must join together one final time to save the city. Dun, dun, dun.
And we don't have time for the full recap. We got a lot of content. We got to get through this week. Point is, this is the one that we have been expecting for quite some time. Obviously, it has been much talked about, the future of Cisco Ramon on The Flash. Where has his character been going? Where is he heading? What makes sense anymore? What is Mecha Vibe versus Vibe? What is a Cisco? Camilla, is she really, is everybody considered her best friends when they say we want to share it with our best friends? I'm like, Camilla, you only kind of been here a little minute, but okay, all right, sure.
Look, no, that's fine. They had a lot of fun in the off season. Okay,
yeah, off screen they all bonded, like, you know, for reals. But here's the thing: I thought about it and I was like, Camilla kind of comes across as, you ever have, like, you know, that friend in the friend group that starts dating, and then that, like, boyfriend, girlfriend, significant other, like, comes on a little too strong, like, yeah, I'm part of the gang, and it's like, I mean, but are you though? Because, like, if y'all break up, you're not staying. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know. What if they're cooler? Like, what if they are better?
I mean, that happens, too. I'm just saying this isn't that. With all due respect, this isn't that. So, yeah. Anyway, point being that they are heading off to their next careers. We got kind of the explanation and the understanding of what exactly was going on with that kind of, you know, Agent Drax over at Argus. And all right. I say that. Are we to assume that Agent Drax is done now, that really he was just there to set up like, hey, this is the guy that Cisco's going to replace? Or is that new algorithm, an anagram? What's the thing with the letters? Acronym. That's what
acronym.
Yeah. The new acronym that Agent Drax is working for. Are they going to be a player in the future?
You know, I mean, it wasn't like a thing where Cisco was like, I'm leaving Central City and I'll never be back because I'm going to the moon with Captain America kind of thing. You know, it seemed right. Like there could be possibilities for him to come back and to maybe show off some flashy new acronym tech.
Agent of Alphabet. Yes. Yeah,
exactly. So, I mean, I don't know. Like, yeah, I think there's the window is open, right? It's not like they've closed it behind him going out. So, I don't think we'll see him for a while. But yeah, I don't think, I mean, maybe he's gone forever. It kind of felt like it in the episode, but I think the possibility is there for him to show up when the team desperately needs him.
Oh, no, I have no doubt that Cisco's coming back. Actually, my question was really more about Agent Drax. Are we going to see Agent Drax again?
probably not.
Probably not, right? Yeah, I'd be shocked and surprised if that was the case. But it's nice to have the clarity about what exactly was going on with that Argus subplot. And I think we assumed, obviously it's been recorded, that we did assume that it was going to be dealing with Killer Frost and that we were going to see kind of this head to head between Argus and Killer Frost, and maybe Agent Drax is connected to some sort of system of something or another that she'll end up having to take down. But nope, it turns out he was just there to be a corporate drone. It's probably like, we need corporate drone for Cisco to replace. And so dude, what acted the part, saw the casting call and was like, oh, I could be a corporate drone. And like took that drone aspect like full on and got the part. So props to him.
Yeah. You know, the director is just like, you know what? Just go with it. Whatever.
Just go with it. No, I mean, I think it was fun. It added a wrinkle into the character and made him not an unforgettable little side character. So, you know, who knows? Maybe Agent Drax might be coming back into play.
Well, even if he does, we'll never see him because he moves too slowly for us to perceive it.
Oh, yeah, this is true. This is true. Man, Cisco's his last hurrah, his final farewell, his swan song, if you will, was this episode. The good vibrations was felt by at least himself and Camilla, but they really wanted everyone else to feel it. And they themselves were not feeling it. So where did you think about the way things were going? What was your thoughts kind of initially with the announcement that you know, Vibe is taking a bow?
Are you asking like what my personal feelings were, or like what my reaction was to the team's reaction when he told them?
Let's go with both. First of all, let's go with you, and then let's go with the team.
Well, you know, it's sad to see him go, but again, you know, we've mentioned it numerous times that like he has had a very complete story arc. He's been treated very well as far as character development and things like that. I think his, you know, Psyche showing him his darkest fear of him being, you know, 30 years later and still doing the same thing, I think is kind of analogous to like where he is in his career.
You know? That was a great revelation too. Like, yeah, this like notion Carlos of like is, what happens. Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, like Carlos's career, right? That's the analogy there. Is like, you know, I'm sure he loves doing the show, but like he doesn't want to be Cisco Ramon for the rest of his life, right? You know? And I think that's kind of, you know, analogous to what he was going through on the show, what Cisco was going through on the show, and that like, you know, he doesn't want to be sidelined. He wants to be he doesn't want to raise a new generation of heroes and stuff. He doesn't want to be Q Q.
Yeah, no, Q. That's a great, yeah, no, the Q analogy is apt. Absolutely.
Yeah. And so, you know, and so he's ready to move on and go. And I think it's time. I think it's good. I think it's a good place to go. We got Chester, you know, he's in there, and he's hopefully going to be able to, like, you know, fill the gap there that Cisco's going to leave. And yeah, you know, I mean, it'll be sad to see him go for sure, because he's a great part of the show. But I think that Chester kind of fills that role a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, he brings that fresh energy. I think this episode, the passing of the torch, was handled really, really well. Man, so many Easter eggs going back into the old warehouse and finding, Captain Cold's gun and, you know, the Thinker's
Samuroid.
Chair. Yeah, the Samuroid. And then also the original helmet that Barry wore when he first was kind of testing out with H.G. Abard and the original Team Flash. It was that was a great little nod. And honestly, I don't know that I have seen an episode of a television show where they have sent off a character with more dignity, excitement, and like just the weight that it requires, especially for given the amount of just the importance that character has had on the series, on the other characters that are there, and I think also on the fan community. Sisko was us, you know, like he things changed as the world changed. And I don't necessarily mean the real world changed in terms of, you know, obviously the real world has changed a lot since the show started. but I mean, like, in terms of, you know, he was the fanboy geeking out over every little thing, naming all the characters. We forget that. We take it for granted now, like, oh, here comes a new person. Sisko's going to make a name. Like, but no, like in the early days, like, every single time Captain Cold and Weather Wizard and Mirror Master and Rainbow Raider and, you know, like there was just every single time a new villain would come along and the excitement of Sisko coming up with the name and kind of owning that, you know, that little responsibility. He wasn't just the tech guy. He was us. And having him go back and like desiring this, you know, reminiscent, you know, he wanted those member berries, man. He's like, remember that time that we did this thing? You remember when we took down the Gorilla Grad? You know, like
I remember.
he had the member berries going. And, you know, it's appropriate. Extremely so. This was a far better episode than I would have expected. And it's not like I expected a poor episode, but this has not been a season of... We have not been firing on all cylinders here on The Flash this season. Like, that is just a fact. And
they certainly haven't all been bangers.
No. And so, to have... You know, there's a sense in which you could almost expect this season, with this episode sending off Vibe and sending off Sisko, especially with kind of the back and forth that his character went, for it to perhaps not be handled the best way. And man, when I say they hit it out of the park, they hit it out of the park. I thought it was a fantastic episode.
Yeah, it was really, really good. Like, it was funny, you know, because when Sisko first tells the team and you see their reaction, like part of me was like, all right, is the team whammied by whatever villain's going to be this week?
Right.
But, you know, like the way they tie that in to them, you know, especially Barry, where Barry was like, yeah, we had to like put on a tough face or, you know, a happy smiley face because we don't want you to leave. And I would probably ask you to stay and you would say yes. And so we couldn't do that. Like, we couldn't do that to you because we care about you too much. And so, yeah, that was like a really good, really fitting thing there. And then the little montage that they had at the end where he's, you know, flashing back to all the stuff that he's done on the show. Like, that was really cool and well done. It was a good send-off episode.
Yeah, I thought it was great. You know, I just recently had to say goodbye to a friend who moved out of state, and someone that I had just become very close with, especially over the last past year. And I remember hearing that they were leaving and I was so mad. Like, I was not, you know, it's like new job opportunity. You know, it's been a tough time, you know, with work and just for some personal reasons and everything. And like, this is such a huge move for this person and such a great move for their career. And all I could do is like, I couldn't even celebrate it for them because I was so mad. And like, I, you know, and like, as if their life has to be dictated by, you know, what I want or something of that nature. But you know how it is when you lose somebody because they're, you know, for good reasons, not, you know, for great reasons for their career, for life, for whatever, you know, the big moves they are, it's painful. And I thought they did a really good job of showing that, putting on a brave face. Now, I will say that I did think that what we were getting was more of a surprise going away party, which obviously we got a surprise going away party, especially because of, you know, this kind of like blink and you miss it. Oh, hey, what's Cecile doing over here? And I thought that was going to have to do with the surprise party, but that's actually going to do with this week's, you know what, but we're not there yet. let's talk about Rainbow Raider, the return. Well, not really the return, but the, I guess the post-crisis Rainbow Raider 2.0. Thoughts on her?
Loved it. I thought it was great. Like, this episode did this bit really well, where it's like, you know, you have a villain and the villain is completely right about what they're trying to do. And usually, like they did this in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, where it's, you know, this girl, she's fighting for these misplaced peoples and stuff, and she's doing all these things and it's right cause, and then they blow it all away by just having her murder people for no reason.
Right. That's a lot of times, that's part of the problem with writing these characters. It's like, there's a way to like have a character have a good point and also be in kind of that radical type of mode that doesn't kind of make them seem out of character. I think, you know, if you want to use a Marvel comparison, I think Killmonger is a fantastic villain from that standpoint.
Yeah.
Thanos, a fantastic villain from that standpoint, because you get the brutality, but you understand the brutality because of their, you know, their philosophy. It's made very clear. Whereas in Captain America and the Winter Soldier, and even to some extent here, I kind of feel like there's a little, she's not really a brutal person. Like, I don't know that it's a exact one-to-one comparison, but like Captain America and Winter Soldier, or rather, spoilers, Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
How dare you?
Yeah, so my bad. that one fell a little flat. And I mean, I don't blame, from all intents and purposes, it seems like we were missing a lot of that show. They got a lot of the story got cut that I feel like probably would have developed that character in a way that would have made things make more sense. But that's probably another conversation, you know, down the road. Here, though, Rainbow Raider is not quite the brutal. I don't quite get that.
No, she's absolutely not. And like, what she's doing is she's using her power with the intent to help people, right? And like, you know, I was about to just roll my eyes at the blimp scene in this episode, because I thought there was going to be a thing where it was like, you know, that's not the right way to help people and blah, 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 blah. And like, you know, all this kind of, oh, you're going to cause mass panic and all these people are going to get all this money and they're going to trample each other. And I was like, oh, come on. Like, but they handled it super well. Like, Barry was like, you know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. The city has failed these people, and so that's why instead of arresting you,
you have.
And then Oliver shoots a nuclear tipped arrow at the city.
You have failed these people, city.
Yeah.
What?
Wait. Hold on. And so, you know, and the way they handled it, I thought was great. Barry was like, yeah, you know what? You're absolutely right. There are people out there who need help. They desperately need it. And instead of, you know, throwing you in prison, what we're going to do is we're going to have you help the mayor, like, do some financial stuff and help these people out. Like, you have, you know, a good vantage point of, like, you know, what is needed and what we can do and all these kinds of things. So instead of robbing places and trying to, like, Robin Hood money out to people, how about you change policy to help these people? And you know, I thought, like, granted, I think there should have been something in there where, like, you know, the Flash is like, oops, and like drops some money anyway.
Would have made for a fun scene. I hear that, and I don't necessarily disagree, but I do feel like, I don't know. Like, first of all, I mean, I loved the character as well. I thought that it was a fun use of her power set and everything else. I thought that the whole, like, you know, do this and you can get a job working for the city and I'm going to make it happen. She's like, really? You're my hero. And I'm like, is it your power set that you can do that by yourself without hurting anybody and just making them happy in the process? Like, did the Flash really do anything other than just like, I don't know, her reaction to like, oh, I'm going to get a job for the city. Like, what?
Well, so in my head canon, what it was is like, you know, she would presumably eventually be found out. And then like they would work to undo all the things she had done. But by going through legitimate channels to do the things that she wanted to do and to, you know, enact the policies that she wanted to enact and do those kinds of things, there's, you know, legitimacy to it. And so there wouldn't be anybody pushing back to say, oh, no, she's a meta and she used her powers to do this. And so all the things that she's trying to do are bad, even though they're good.
Yeah, you know, but like on a realist. All right. And I know this is like, you know, why? But I mean, like, let's pretend for a second that this was a realistic situation, like an activist working for the city that literally has the ability to control people's minds. I don't know how far she's going to get it. You know what I mean?
Well, it would have made a much more interesting confrontation between her and the Flash. Like, if she had mind controlled everybody in the city government to, like, basically make Central City a utopia for everyone, and then Flash is like, but That's no.
We are all on drugs. Yeah. Like, you know, like basically Central City just.
Yeah. Everybody's like hugging each other and like rubbing their hair and stuff.
Yeah.
Just like, man, I love everybody.
This is an amazing place. Okay, let's talk about everybody high on Rainbow Raiders.
Can I touch your jacket? You know?
Okay, so at first, for me, I was a little off put. I've been really hoping to get a return of Rainbow Raider, the OG, the Roy G. Bivolo, and specifically a deeper dive into that power set. And it was clear when she showed up and she was kind of, zapping everybody. It's like, oh, okay, we're not going emotional spectrum. It's like, it's more of, you know, she's, kicking up the, you know, euphoric, experience, the endorphins and biology and yada, yada, yada. And so it's not going to be that same kind of thing. And it's actually interesting. I like the fact that they attempted like, oh, hey, we've been here before. We can do this. Let's use the thing that we did that worked the first time. And it's like, nope, we're dealing with a different power set altogether. It's similar. And the way they explained it, I wasn't a huge fan of with like, oh, okay, well, since she now has like, he only had control of like red and she has control of all the colors. And that makes her 7 times as powerful. And I was a little confused by that because I was like, well, really? I thought that Roy G. Bivolo had more than that, and we just hadn't explored it. But I guess we got a confirmation that maybe that's not the case. So,
well, I mean, I kind of read it as like, you know, he only used rage because...
Oh, so he was only tapping into one thing, whereas he never actually utilized the full spectrum, whereas she is utilizing the full spectrum.
Yeah, like he used rage because that helped his you know, as a means to an end, right? That was the best way for him to get his goals, was to use the red light to make rage and all that kind of stuff. Whereas she's like, you know what? If I use all the spectrum, I can manipulate the dopamine and serotonin levels in people's brains and basically get them to do whatever I want. So I'm going to do that instead.
Okay. So you're saying there's still a chance that we might get an exploration of the emotional spectrum on the Flash?
I mean, potentially. I don't know. Like,
Diggle's out there being a Green Lantern now. I mean, I'm just saying.
It would be nice. It would be nice.
It would be. And again, that's me just bringing, you know, my hopes and dreams and I don't, you know, what we get is what we get. So I'm not trying to naysay. That being said, that was my mindset going into like her introduction and the situation that we were dealing with. I was like, oh, this wasn't quite what I wanted. But then when we see it go down, especially like with Cisco and especially with Barry, I'm all for it. I'm like, no, this is a great character. And this is amazing.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Getting to see Barry speed break dance. That was cool.
Just that face. Face, man.
The face alone was worth the price of admission.
That was brilliant. I loved it. I thought they clearly had so much fun with that power set. The actress that played Rainbow Raider 2.0, you could tell she got it. She knew exactly what she was doing and just had that kind of fun, like ultra happy pixie-esque, you know, kind of vibe going.
And the costume was great. The boots and the jacket.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So actually when they were in the street and like she had her rainbow jacket and Vibe is in his mecha Vibe gear with that giant lighting thing. I'm like, man, it's like the 80s just showed up to like bust up here on Central City. Like this feels like the one from the 80s right now.
Yeah. Weird. Yeah. But my only complaint.
All right, let's hear it.
With Rainbow Raider 2.0 is that her real name wasn't Molly.
Don't do drugs, kids. We need to make it very clear. Don't do drugs. We here at Flash TV Talk do not condone drug use, recreational or otherwise. Well, I mean, like, I guess if you're sick. All right. Yeah, so to recreational. Medical's fine.
Yeah, kids, just be safe.
Stay in school. I don't know. Yeah. What's the right thing?
Have you seen the? It's like a Mr. T thing where like they, you know, it's like after school specials, and he was like, don't do school, stay up all night, and do all the drugs, something like that. it was like a splice up of his after school message, but they flipped all the yeah.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Yeah, it was yeah.
Remember that episode of the 90s Flash where Barry gets a little hit with a little something something and then he just like busts out like a shreds on the guitar and everything?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's kind of like that, but different.
Yeah. Yeah.
feeling the happiness, feeling the love of Rainbow Raiders 2.0's happy juice, happy sauce, happy lights,
and this was an episode where the you know, Care Bear stare type of stance that they're taking towards a villain, I feel worked a whole lot better.
I mean, I hear you. I don't disagree with like the mindset. I just, the way in which it tied everything up too quickly in a nice little bow, I thought was a little bit like, I don't know. I liked the character.
Sure, but they had to give Cisco his due, right? They had to give him a hero moment and all these kinds of things. And so like, you know, I think wrapping it up like
that. We got a party to go to. Let's just get you a job for the city and call it a day, shall we?
yeah. You know, and so of the villains this season that they've Care Bear stared, that one was the best.
Right. No, that's
because
good.
It made the most sense within the story. It made the most sense like with what that villain's end goal was. You know, she wanted to make things better, and so Flash gave her an opportunity to do that legitimately. Whereas like all the other ones have been like, oh, I know you've murdered people, but let's all hug it out, and then you'll know that you've done bad stuff, and we can move on.
Right. No, I mean, it definitely works better than what's come before. I will say, I really enjoyed her as a kind of a foil, as a foil for the Flash, and I really, hopefully. Yeah, I mean, you want to see these villains reform and all that kind of good stuff, but at the same time, sometimes you don't want to see them reform. You kind of hope they get back to their old tricks in some form or fashion. This one was too fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, oh, no, don't get me wrong. I'd love to see her come back and see some kind of, you know, more shenanigans that she can throw so we can just watch, you know, Barry have that weird face again.
right. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how she potentially plays out in the future for sure. But yeah, so, you know, we did get, this was the, kind of official goodbye. As you made mention, Chester is kind of you can't even really call him the new Cisco, but I mean, there is a lot of similarities between the two in terms of, you know, what's going on and how we can kind of expect the two to, you know, potentially communicate. I would be shocked if we didn't see, Chester, like at some point, say, you know, oh, I got to make a phone call. You know, like we're going to have that sense of Cisco living in this world. And, you know, it's not going to be, you know, first thing we do is, you know, well, where's the Avengers or anything like that. Like, I think we're going to have that sense of continuity through Chester. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think it's going to be tied to that flash drive that Cisco gave him with like all the plans and stuff like that. Like, I think that's going to be, you know, that's going to be the tie in there where it's like, you know, Chester makes a device and it doesn't work. And so he goes and looks in Cisco's stuff and sees, oh, this is what I did wrong. And, or let me like merge this tech with that and that'll help him grow. Right. Because like, I think the goal here is to have Chester be, you know, the Cisco 2.0 kind of thing where it's like, he takes his knowledge and Cisco's knowledge and combines it to become the where the sum is more than the two parts, right? Like I think that's his path
for sure. I do hope that Chester does become his own character though, and I think he has already to some extent. And you know, so it'll be interesting to see. I liked how he was super, you know, excited for Cisco and at the same time really excited to get kind of the Battlefield promotion that comes along with it. And I think we'll see how it is. Man, in this episode, we also got Allegra, who got to use some of her powers in a capacity that was helpful. We also got Iris, who was mad and then was fine, and that was about it.
That was the weirdest bit for me in the whole episode.
Odd, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, it made sense with Barry and Caitlin's reactions and, you know, at the end when they came, we're like, we messed up, we did wrong. But like Iris is, I didn't really get, she came across as like a man, like we're, you know, when like you have a good employee and they put in their 2 weeks notice because they got this huge opportunity, instead of being happy for them, you're mad because now you have to find a replacement and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, there was kind of a thing. She's like, yeah, I know I was, you know, what I did was bad and all that kind of stuff, but blah, blah, blah. It didn't feel the same resolution that Barry and Caitlin's misgivings at the beginning of the episode did.
Yeah. That was interesting. And also she just, I don't know. I the Team Citizen, I feel like has never quite been what it's like wanted to be or what it maybe could have been. I don't know. Team Citizen always kind of feels like not even the B team, but like the C team of the Flash. And, you know, and not because Citizen starts with C, although I just realized that's probably a good thing. But anyway, regardless, I was I know that there was a large portion of the fan community that did not like Iris on Team Flash. I was never part of that. I always really appreciated Iris being on Team Flash. That made sense to me. You know, every single business I've ever had, every single thing I ever do, like, my wife is heavily involved in that. Like, you know, it's not, you know, this notion that she has to exist elsewhere because, you know, I don't know. I don't understand why people were so anti-Iris being on Team Flash or any of that sentiment. So I'm kind of, as a pro-Iris person, you know, like, I'm frustrated because I feel like we end up with the sidelining of the character, with the sidelining of these sideline characters in this kind of sideline storyline, and it feels so disconnected and not where, especially a character that should carry that amount of weight, belongs. And so, you know, with Camilla going and with, you know, potentially Allegra finding her footing somewhere, I think that it'd be great if we saw the Citizen and Star Labs working more closely together in some form or fashion. But let's get Iris back on the main storyline, please. That would be great.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because that's the thing is, you know, I'm pro Iris as well. And I think there's people who, you know, didn't like her on Team Flash because they like her character and they want her character to be able to grow outside the Team Flash. Like, and do the
whole,
you know,
that. Yeah.
I totally get that too. And like, you know, do the whole journalist thing like she is in the comics and like, move with that. But you know, we haven't seen Detective Barry since episode one,
right?
Maybe it could be like, you know, detective slash journalist Iris on Team Flash, like digging the scoop, so to speak, on how to beat the bad guy. So she's still, you know, exhibiting those characteristics from the comics,
yeah,
but also on the main storylines and the main plot lines and all of those kinds of things.
Yeah,
but,
I mean, I think know. That's true of all these characters. It'd be, you know, we've said it before, we definitely would love a return of Detective Barry. We'd love, you know, a chance to like see these characters existing in their superhero roles, but also in their civilian roles. And for that to be an aspect of the story. We don't need Barry rocking the red pajamas, you know, 24/7. But when he's not, let's have him at work. Let's have him, you know, punching a clock and finding information that way. Let's have, you know, I mean, like Caitlin, and I guess Caitlin and Cisco, it makes sense they were, you know, part of Star Labs, but let's see Star Labs, like, you know, make some money, have a revenue, like a revenue stream of some sort, you know.
Look, they're licensing patents, okay? That's how they make all their money.
Yeah, oh, that's probably, you know, that's probably true. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Anyway, yeah. So there's that.
Although
yeah.
Clearly it's not enough money to fix the roof or the security system, which
right.
Which brings me to this point: why does Caitlin need Cisco's security keys in his ID card? Like, you can get, I could walk into Star Labs right now with like an entire arsenal that I stole from the Central City Arsenal on Earth 90, and I could just walk in there and be like, "All right, you're all kidnapped now."
Right. Yeah. the most unnecessary like exit interview of all time.
Yeah. We're gonna revoke your security keys. Okay, fine. I can still come in whenever I want. Like, it's you
like,
and
oh,
I know
oh,
that.
Oh, the security keys? Oh, you want my key that gets me into the building? Yeah, yeah. Okay, sure. Here it is. By the way, I've literally never used it. I have literally never used it. I loved the going away party. I will say this: as much as you know, personal gripes in terms of how Iris as a character has been kind of handled, especially in recent seasons, I will say I did appreciate the fact that we did get kind of that OG Team Flash from, you know, from the days when it was, you know, when the secret was very limited in terms of who knew, you know, kind of a callback there for Cisco's goodbye. I loved that we got a callback to the Lady Gaga, and yeah. I loved the revelation that wasn't ever actually on Barry's iTunes.
On his Facebook page.
That's right. On his Facebook page. And so that's, you know, I think it's great that we got it seemed the fitting send off by celebrating the Cisco that we all fell in love with, and a reminder that you know, no matter how much we change and no matter how crazy the world gets, that, you know, those aspects of the character are there. They like Cisco's grown, but he's also still that same goofy making the jokes, naming the bad guys, getting hyped for every little thing, and, you know, and having fun at every chance that he got. And I think sending him off with the kind of the karaoke dance party with Caitlin and Barry, man, that was just great. That just made me happy.
Yeah.
So, pouring some out for Cisco, man. We're going to miss you, buddy, but you know, you're off to bigger and great things, and yeah, to vibe.
To vibe.
All right. So all that said, there was something that happened this episode. Oh, Killer Frost, not actually in this episode.
She sent a text message.
She textually was in this episode. And yeah. I was fine with that to an extent. Like, she was, like, Killer Frost, if Killer Frost was leaving, then Sisko better be there. But with Sisko leaving, I guess it's fine that Killer Frost wasn't there because Caitlin was so tied to his story. Wasn't that also during the time that Caitlin was Killer Frost? Wasn't that part of her personal history as well? Like, don't they both share in kind of that season one relationship with Sisko?
I mean, perhaps. I'm trying to remember where she was. Where was Killer Frost?
Caitlin. Like, they were the same person at that point.
No. I'm not talking about when she sent the text message on this episode.
Oh, I don't know. She's I don't know. I can't remember where she was. She was off screen because we had so many characters in this one. Honestly, I hate to say it, but if you had to cut somebody, I probably would have cut Allegra from this episode.
But how else was she going to interview that person? She interviewed a guy at the crime scene.
Right.
That was very important to the story.
It's super important. That was just there so we could see Cecile. And I mean, she flashy thing to the bad guy. That's fine. I don't know. I think that would be the character that is probably the most expendable in this storyline. That you could have rotated Killer Frost in so that she could have had more of a specific goodbye, given how much Sisko kind of helped her along.
Yeah.
I will say Allegra using, Nash's poof bombs or whatever they're called, smoke bombs.
Oh, the like teleporter thingies? Yeah. That was neat.
That is neat. I mean, I do like that she gets to, you know, there is that connection without it having to kind of hit us over the head with it. I like that. Yeah. So there you go. All right, cool. That's that. Now, Allegra did have a very important point in this episode, man. I don't know what you're talking about. It's not just so she could interview that guy. It's also so that she could point out, like, hey, what's Cecile doing here? Oh, wait, no, that was Camilla. All right, Allegra had no purpose. Anyway, point is, Cecile in the background until she's not, and that's going to bring us to this week's
Speedster Speculation.
Belle, Cecile. Is the new Psycho Pirate? All right, wait. You know what? Before I even say that, I'm saying that based on pure speculation because I have not seen Masquerade yet. And I gotta assume, based off of, the fact that she's wearing a mask and the next episode is called Masquerade, that this is something that is going to be talked about to some extent, if not fully addressed, next episode. Now, I don't want you to spoil the next episode for me, because it's very possible that people listening to this episode don't yet know themselves as to what's going to end up happening. And so, all that to be said, let me just ask you this. Do they address what's going on with Cecile?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right. Dang it.
It is a Cecile-based episode.
Okay. All right. So, I guess this is how we'll handle this week's Speedster Speculation. This is going to be a little awkward, but you know what? We're going to figure it out because you know the future.
Yes.
And I don't know the future. There's a weird feeling. A little. It's a role reversal is what it is. Kind of, maybe. Not really. I'm assuming that based on the mask that we are now like entering into kind of a psycho pirate post-crisis worlds colliding situation coming together. That's my assumption. Now, here's what I want to know from you. Not what happens, but when you first saw the mask in the end of this episode, what did you think was going to happen?
I wasn't sure. Like, I saw that and I was like, okay, so something's obviously up with Cecile, but is this going to be a like multi-episode lead up to a big thing? Like, is this our new I kind of thought that this is going to be our next story arc. That we were going to do like maybe a couple episodes for this little Cecile story to build her up and then finally beat the boss, and then we can move on to like the next small story or whatever. Because I don't know, I thought that would be kind of interesting, because usually we don't see like stingers for next week's big bad, like if it's just a freak of the week kind of situation.
Do we have a usual at this point?
I don't think so. We don't. I don't think we have a big bad at this point.
Yeah.
Because all like Nora and all the Speed Forces and not all the Speed Forces, all the forces right. are all placated and everything's fine there. This one we had a freak of the week. It's just when you see a stinger like that where it's like, I'm going to find out who you are. You don't think for that that's going to be like a one-off thing, right? Like to me, I was sitting there thinking, okay, this is going to be the next arc, and that's going to be pretty interesting.
Interesting. All right, so this is very difficult. So you're basically telling me that this is just for next week's episode, and it's going to get wrapped up.
I didn't say that.
No, but that's what I'm picking up from you, because like,
you asked me what I thought. And that's what I thought.
Okay. All right. Fair. No, that's fair. That's fine. But okay.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Like when that episode ended, I was like, this is definitely going to be the next arc that we're going to have here.
Okay. I just assumed that, because if you think back to Crisis, you had they introduced kind of Psycho Pirate Chillin', or maybe that wasn't Crisis. That was Elseworlds, wasn't it? When Psycho Pirate was like, hey, I'm here. Like, oh, it's going to be a crisis. And then we never really heard from him during Crisis, if I'm remembering correctly.
Was that?
You remember that? Remember that time that we saw Psycho Pirate?
Was that the Psycho Pirate mask or was that the Dr. Fate mask?
No. This was very specifically, I think it's actually Elseworlds now that I'm thinking back to it. Because I want to say it was about the time that they sprung, speaking of Nora, Frost Nora, Killer, Mr. Freeze's Nora. Remember?
Yeah.
Remember that time? To Gotham and they sprung, you know.
Yeah.
Mrs.
Yeah,
Freeze.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't Psycho Pirate in Arkham? Am I totally misremembering all of this?
I think you're right. Yes. No, I think you're right. I remember it now. Yeah, because they're going through the prison ward to go find her, and they came across his cell and he was screaming stuff about a crisis, right?
I think that's right. I think that's what I remember. I think that's it.
Yeah, no, I think you're right.
Okay, cool. But all right, well, this was a net fail. Hard to speculate when you know the future, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, there is something that I didn't see coming that I thought was pretty cool
for next week.
Yeah, for next week.
Well, that's not helpful in this context. All right, well, fair enough. Well, that was my speculation for what was going to happen, but. And you're doing good by not telling me if I'm right or wrong, but I get the sense that I felt like this moment is kind of like a big, like, whoa, what's going on here? Like, you know, like in a, this is about to reset, you know, reset the timeline. Speaking of which, you watching Loki?
I am. I haven't seen the second episode though.
Oh my gosh. It's so good.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. That speaking of timelines and like, if you love the Flash, if your favorite part of the Flash is like the timeline shenanigans, man.
So that's like two other people excluding us.
Right. Well, I mean, how many people listen to this show still? We got at least two people listening right now. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's, there you go. No, that's a, it's a great show. A lot of branch, like that whole concept. I love that they're spending so much time exploring the concept of timelines as it relates to the multiverse. And you almost kind of wish that the Flash had done this in a little bit more like smart detail, you know?
Well, there's you know, at least one more season. So
that's true. But at this point, I think we've kind of set up the expectation that, you know, rules where we're going, we don't need rules. Like we've. It is what it is, and I'm fine with it. Not against it. Just calling it like I see it. That's all.
Yeah.
But all right. Yeah. Cool. There you go. That's a terrible speedster speculation for this week because of when we recorded this in the timeline. And yeah,
we need the TVA to come back and erase my memory.
I want like a TVA like jacket or vest so bad.
Well, all you got to do is just go to Tennessee and work for the Tennessee Valley Authority.
That's true. Wait, is that just a front for the TVA's headquarters?
Yeah, the TVA doesn't actually run all the hydro dams in Tennessee. They
hydro dams? Actually,
no, hydro.
Oh, okay. Hydro, all right. So power. I thought they were holding back hydro.
Maybe that's a front too.
That could be a front for. Oh man, we're blowing this thing wide open, and we've completely
like hydroelectric, hydra electric. We have dun dun dun. You know, yeah, yeah. Mind blown.
We've just completely crossed the streams here. I think that's gonna have to do it for us though for this week. Here on Flash TV Talk, we'll have this week's Masquerade coming at you as quickly as possible, and ideally, if not definitely, before next week's episode. Really sorry about kind of how everything just played out, but you know, we're in this awkward season of life where normally we wouldn't even have Flash episodes, and now we do. And so that's got to fit into the fact that now we can also travel and go on vacation for the first time in over a year. And so a lot of craziness. So yeah, y'all's little grace is goes a long way. We really appreciate y'all for that. If you want some additional content, like I said, head over to the Flash TV Talk YouTube channel to see what's going on over on Flashcraft. Having a lot of fun there. And yeah, I think that is going to do it for us for this week. But want to encourage you, of course, if you want to follow Bell on the Twitters, you can follow him at Ring That Bell or Flash TV Talk at Flash TV Talk.
But if 280 characters isn't enough to express your love for our show, feel free to email us at flash@podastery.com. That's podastery.com.
You can also check out the Facebook page at facebook.com/flashtvtalk.
And as always, special thanks to Charlie Bach, who provides music for our show. You can listen to the rest of his awesome stuff at soundcloud.com/Charlie Bach.
All right, man. We are a proud member of the good folks over at tvtalk.fm. So for more TV Talk and podcasts, check that out. And that is going to do it for us for this week. So, for me, for Bell, for Bell's mom, what? We'll be back with Flash.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.